Greenwich comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I thought about that song. You know, I'm always thinking in song lyrics, because a lot of what Linda Flanagan, our next guest, is talking about is how we're depleting our children before they're adults. We're depleting their natural love of activity and their and the natural human wonderful thing that happens when you're a child and you make up your own games and you aren't in highly structured competitive sports. And you go outside and you play as a kid, and then maybe because you discover a talent or a love of some kind of a sport, you say, you know what, I'm ready to take it to the next level and be on a team or compete on my own on a tennis court, and let me take it there. But that's been hijacked. That world of Stand By Me, and that world that maybe you and I remember when we used to play tag on the street, seems long gone. Linda Flanagan is a freelance journalist, a researcher. She's a former cross-country and track coach herself. She holds a master's at Oxford, as well as from the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy. She was an analyst for the National Security Program at Harvard and is a founding member of something called the Positive Coaching Alliance in New York City. She also spoke for the Aspen Institute's Reimagining School Sports Initiative. She is somebody who's been a lifelong athlete, but she's also a mother of three. She lives in Jersey, and she's written a book called Take Back the Game, How Money and Mania Are Ruining Kids' Sports and Why It Matters. Linda Flanagan, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Thank you for joining us. Hello.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for that very generous introduction.
You know, in your book, you give me some mind-boggling statistics. I'm going to let you talk about it. First, let's talk about the money. And what age group are we talking about in terms of kids sports right now?
Well, I mean, youth sports, there are different ways of defining it. In my view, it's anywhere from certainly through high school. You know, and you could argue, depending on how you define adolescence, that it's through college. But it's not, you know, not like post-collegiate or, you know.
But how young are we starting? Are we starting with kids in fifth grade, sixth grade, Little League? What are we talking about?
I mean, well, you know, this is one of the problems that has developed in the last decade or so, is that there's increasing pressure on kids and families to start at earlier and earlier ages. So, you know, there are programs in my community. I live in Summit, New Jersey, that offer programs for three-year-olds.
What?
So, you know, I'm sure you could find something for 18 months old. It's, you know, there's no bottom to it in a way. So the thinking is earlier is better, more is better.
Are we trying to become like Asian countries are known for being, like South Korea, for example, and China and Russia, where they would pigeonhole kids at these very early age? Remember the gymnasts and the ice skaters at 11, 12, 13, 14, and how America would say, oh, no, we would never force our kids to live that kind of isolated life. Is that who we're becoming?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think there's any it's not like a top-down thing where people, you know, unlike in some of those countries where those kids were plucked and, you know, cultivated by, you know, government forces. Here it's more like it's kind of like a Hobbesian world where everyone is doing this in order to – individual families are getting wound up in order to keep their kids competitive because they want to be sure they don't fall behind and that their children have every advantage and that, you know, they can't dare wait until the child is two instead of 18 months because that 18-month-old might – get an edge.
I can't. Linda, listen, I want to play a quote. This is from Coach Gino Auriemma, who is the most famous coach in Connecticut basketball history, and he is the coach of the women's Husky team. And I want you to just hear, it's about a minute long. I want you to hear him on the subject of cultivating new Husky kids. Let's play it, Andrew.
7-year-olds or 8-year-olds, they want to be good teammates. You watch them play. When they get a little bit older and they start having a little more success and then the parents get involved, they become not so great teammates because they're told a lot of times that you're not going to get anywhere unless you shine, unless you, you know. So now, back in the day, we had AAU tournaments. You had to win X number of games to qualify for the national championship. And you played on your team and you had to live in your state or whatever, your area to play. And you played, and if you lost, you went home, and it was devastating. And that's Rebecca and Jamel Elliott and Jen Rosati and Nikisha Sales, you know, going, you know, Megan Patterson, as far back as them. Well, that's changed. Now when kids go to these tournaments, they're not going there to win games. They're going there so that the coach can see them exhibit their skills. So this idea of winning for the weekend doesn't exist anymore. So it's not their fault. That's just the way it is. And I try when we go recruiting to identify those kids who still have a tremendous interest in being great teammates. We're not always successful. Believe me, I've had my share of guys that were really hard to coach for that reason. And you can trace it back generally to the parents.
We're talking with Linda Flanagan. That was Gino Auriemma, one of the most famous coaches in Connecticut sports history. And I think that that was extraordinary, Linda, listening to him talk, don't you?
Well, I mean, it's exactly right. Everything he says is exactly right. And, you know, what's so strange about it is I think most parents kind of know this. They know that it isn't great what they're doing, that specializing early isn't great for the kid. It's not in their long-term interest necessarily, but it just sort of takes on a life of its own. And like he mentions, you know, there's a 7 or 8-year-old who loves to play, and then some grown-up whispers in the kid's ear and the parent's ear, hey, you know, if you do AAU 12 months of the year, and we can really take you to the next level. And then it completely, like, corrupts and undermines the kid's intrinsic motivation to play. You know,
not to mention their childhood.
Well, yeah, there's that little fact. You know, one of the most interesting facts that I came across in my research is that it was some research done out of the Families and Sport Lab at Utah State, run by Travis Dorsch, who's an authority on this. And he found that the more money parents spend on their kids' sports, the less the kid enjoys it and the more pressure the child feels.
Totally.
So, you know, everything this coach is talking about is reinforced by the data.
Yeah, and you talk about the data. You say that the value of the youth sports industry is estimated at well over $19 billion in 2019 alone. The NFL was $15 billion. This is what's happening in America. Yep. It's crazy.
Yep. Well, and it's grown 90% since 2010, so it's really picked up steam in the last decade or so. And, you know, I really think parents need to be conscious of this, that as they go about making their decisions about which league or team or, you know, special gym to sign up for, that there are a lot of people profiting off your kids. And I'm not saying they're evil people. They see that there's a market there, but that you as a parent have to be skeptical and you have to protect your own family, because another truism is the clubs and teams, they don't care about your family. They don't care about, you know, they want to get your kid to whatever the next level is and wherever that is. But, you know, it makes the clubs and leagues look great if they can send some kids off to a good college and then they can promote those stats. But they don't care about your kid or your family. And that's, you know, I think that's, parents need to be reminded of that.
We're chatting with Linda Flanagan. The book is Take Back the Game. So, Linda, you remember the Varsity Blues scandal of just a couple of years ago, which is still playing out in some people's lives. And Lori Loughlin and these Hollywood stars that were having their kids pose as fake athletes in order to get them into USC and other colleges. That's a logical manifestation of what you're talking about. That's a very logical conclusion of all of this.
Well, it is, because, you know, athletes are given advantages in the college the admissions process. For one thing, it's streamlined. They don't have to go through the, you know, the torturous waiting and just anxiety of applying in the fall and then finding out in the spring that kind of can taint senior year for high school kids. But also they're given advantages in admissions in terms of their lower academic standards in general offered to athletes. And they're also given advantages even where there isn't money being offered. There are spots carved out for athletes. And, you know, parents have picked up on this and it has become, you know, a kind of a handy way to get their child into perhaps a better college. And there's a lot of money that's being dangled around, even though few kids are going to get full scholarships, very few. There's still a lot of money that's being presented as available to potential college athletes.
203-333-9422. If you'd like to pick up the phone, we'll take some calls now. We're chatting with Linda Flanagan. We're talking about youth sports, and we're talking about how, frankly, parents are leading the way in perverting youth activities because of what it seems to me like, in many cases, are parents' own ambitions for their kids, their own hopes for their kids. I will tell you, Linda, that I have heard more and more kids in our own community in Westport and Fairfield and Weston where the kids are diverted from public high school. And by the way, they're not the next Martina Navratilova or Chris Evert or Bobby Orr, okay? Or, you know, Johnny Unitas for that matter. But whatever it is, the parent thinks that there's a spark of potential talent. And they go to these academies in Florida, which are designed to be sports funnels. And yeah, you know, yes, they have to learn some academics on the side too, yeah. But they're basically designed to get them to have a shortcut to be looked at by scouts to get into professional sports. And I know people who are doing that with their kids. It astounds me. But that's, I always thought that my kid's most important organ was the brain. So I was never, I mean, we didn't have we didn't have a girls' tennis team in the 70s at Lawrence Junior High School, Linda. Mm-hmm. So I started one. Okay, I went to a teacher and I said, you know, the boys have a team. This is before Title IX or whatever, Title IX team, whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, Title IX. I said, I think we should have a girls' team. And they're like, okay, you can have a team. So we each had a tennis racket, okay, a tennis racket. And we played on the public courts. And I organized our matches with other schools. Mm-hmm. We lost most of them. I was a pretty lousy tennis player. But I felt like I had done something, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yep. Well, you know, I do think as much as it's easy to, you know, blame parents for all this, and, you know, I'm a parent, I have three kids, you know, I think it's also right to consider that there's a lot of pressure on parents that to go along with this. It seems like this is the only way to do it. Parents feel like they have no choice in the matter, even if they know it's ridiculous and don't want to pay a fortune for, you know, lacrosse lessons at age five. I do think it's important to be able to resist these pressures, but I also believe most, maybe this is naive, but I do believe most parents want what's best for their kids. They want them to thrive and be happy and do sports and enjoy them. And then it's just that it gets warped and it takes on a life of its own after a certain point.
Well, when can the parents rebel? Why do you have to be, okay, so let me ask this. Why is it that to play a sport, it has to be the only thing you do? Why?
Well, I mean, that's coming from the club, the private clubs and leagues who say you need to do this if you want to get to the next level, if you want to make it to the premium team and, you know, be seen by college coaches in 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, this is what you need to do. And, you know, again, as I was saying, you know, that there's a lot of people making money off your family. It's because, look, for leagues and teams to make it, the bigger ones, they might own facilities. They have to pay rent. They have to pay their coaches. It can't be by season, you know? It has to be a year-round thing. So, you know, there's this pressure that's sort of there's an incentive to get families to, it's a financial incentive that encourages them to get families to play baseball in the fall and play lacrosse year round and play soccer year round, rather than, you know, seasonally the way, you know, I guess some of us think it's supposed to be.
So Linda Flanagan, in this book, Take Back the Game, what are you hearing? What are you seeing from the kids themselves? Are there mental health stresses that are measurable? Are there breakdowns in family relationships and dynamics that are avoidable? And what are some of the fixes? Will you stay on hold with us? We're going to come right back. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay. We're chatting with Linda Flanagan, Take Back the Game, conversation about the money and the pressure in youth sports. Stay tuned.